written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, Lord, I just pray that we would examine our feet, God, not these just physical feet, Father, but Lord, the feet of our heart, God, that you would find within us a beauty, God, not because of outward things, but because we have a desire, God, to take the gospel to the world. And Lord, we want to begin with it right here. But Lord, I pray we would not be limited to it right here. But Lord, our passion within us would do all that we can, from praying to giving to going, Father, so that we too could be people that you proclaim are people of beautiful feet. It's that name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Now, this is a pretty familiar passage to many folks, but I just want us to look at it again this morning, especially as we begin and emphasize this morning our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You can see our tree over here. I've noticed over the years that tree keeps getting a lot better looking. You know, it started off pretty pathetic, and now it starts off actually looking pretty decent, but we're going to make it even more beautiful as this next few weeks go on. And I want to look at this passage just to look at three short things. First of all, this: we have good news for everyone that can save anyone. Look there in verse 13 again. It says this: "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." That is some great news right there, my friend. That is the most wonderful news that this entire world could hear. It didn't say, "For some who will call upon the name of the Lord might be saved." It said, "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Do you realize the promise that is in that? The certainty that is in that. And that's that certainty that's for my life, and it's for your life, but it's for every life here on this face of the earth. It's a beautiful, beautiful promise. Anyone can be saved from his or her sins. There's not a person that is walking the face of this earth. There's not a person that you or I know, and there's not a person in this building this morning because that they're saying, "My sins are just too far for God. I've done too many things. I've rejected him too long. I've got secret things that nobody else knows about." God sits there and says, "Your sins can be covered. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus can save you from your sins. I don't care how great they are or how long you've been doing them." That's some wonderful, wonderful news right there. Anyone can. John 3:16 talks about that too. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever..." You know what? You should be thankful this morning. You are part of that whosoever. I'm a part of that whosoever. It means any man or woman, any boy or girl. You know, whosoever is for white people and it's for black people. It's for people in America and it's for people in Russia. It's for little boys and it's for grown adults. It's for everybody, whoever will call. We have a message that is genuinely good news for everyone. There's no exceptions. You know, sometimes you have good news and it's good for you, and that's it. You know, something great happens in your life, and you know, you share it with other folks. We're kind of like, "Well, that's great, but it doesn't mean anything to me. It's not good for me. It's just going to bless your life. It's going to make your family better." But this is news that is good for every single person that you will encounter, every person you will encounter during these holidays, every person that exists and breathes this very day. Because God has a heart and God has a passion, and here it is. I'm going to teach you a little Greek. Ponte te ethne. I don't know what that means, but I'll tell you what that means. God's heart and God's passion and God's desire, ponte te ethne, that people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, that's what that means, from every ethnicity, that ethne is what that means there. God's desire is that people from all over, every tribe, tongue, and nation, will know who he is. See, when we get to heaven, God wants a very diverse choir. You realize that? You talk about diversity, he's going to have a diverse choir because there's going to be people from all different tongues with all different languages and all different backgrounds, all different skin colors, all different education levels. They're going to be there. That's God's desire. And the Word of God tells us in the book of Revelation, that's when Jesus will return. When the gospel has been proclaimed throughout the ends of the earth, that's when he will return. You know what? We play a part in it. We could sit back there callously and say, "Well, it's in God's time and it'll happen when it happens." But you realize that God has given us a responsibility in that. He's given us a privilege in that to be bearers of very, very good news. See, anyone can call out to Jesus Christ and receive salvation. Anyone can. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you have done. Yet locked in this remarkable promise is the reality of this. They must call upon the name of Jesus. Look there in verse 13. Whoever will call upon the name of a God will be saved? No. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I know there's going to be people, probably not within this room, but there's people in this world say, "That's so close-minded, so narrow-minded. You're saying that only those who call upon Jesus will be saved." That's exactly what I'm saying this morning, because that's exactly what the Word of God says. And we may not like it, but that's what God says. And you might sit there and say, well, I don't believe that part. Let me tell you this. If you don't believe that part, then you don't need to believe any of it. If he's a liar, he's a liar incomplete. If he's a liar, if you can't believe when Jesus says that he is the only way, then you might as well not believe any of the other parts. When you're sick, you might as well not believe that he can touch you or heal you. When you're going through difficult times, you might as well not believe he's a God of peace and love and comfort. If he's a liar in one part, he's a liar in all parts. There's no other name under heaven given among men which by we can be saved. It is only the name of Jesus. It's not the name of Allah. It's not the name of Joseph Smith. It's not the name of Buddha. It's not the name of any of these other things that you could conjure up and that you might have encountered in your life and other people have encountered. It's only in that name. Now, some of you, let me ask you this. How many of you have one of those GPS systems in your vehicle? Yeah, those have become real common, don't you? I hate the voice. You know, just like, I wish I could change the voice in it and do something better, but we got one of those things. We only turn it on when we really have to, if we get lost or something like that, because it kind of gets old. But those things are pretty neat, aren't they? Because you can go just about anywhere in this country, and it's going to tell you, you know, in 0.2 miles, you're going to need to turn right. And man, that thing's pretty accurate. I mean, it's just right on. It just amazes me. But you realize there's some places you can go if you're in Africa that the GPS just ain't going to work. You get in places in Africa on these dirt roads, and on these little dirt roads, there'll become a fork in the road. And your GPS, I don't care how good it is, probably ain't going to recognize that road. And that road is so critical because which fork you take is going to make a big difference in where you go. See, if you take one direction, sometimes those paths will travel parallel for quite some distance. Sometimes one will wind up back in there, and it's just a diversion to get through, you know, mud holes and pits that are in the road. But very often, when you come to that fork in the road, if you take the wrong fork, you're going to end up in the wrong place and in the wrong village. And it didn't mean to be there. And many people are just like that in our world today. We live in a world where there are many roads in people's mind to try to find God. They believe, well, there's a lot of roads and there's a lot of ways. I'll be sincere. I don't know about you, but I've been sincerely lost before. I mean, I really wanted to find my way. But as hard as I've tried, guess where I've wound up? Somewhere I didn't know where I was. And just like every man in this room, I'm not going to stop and ask directions. I figure I can find my way. I got my way in. I'll get my way back out. You know, hopefully we'll live through it and tell about it. But you know what? We think there's so many ways. Our world thinks there's so many ways. There's the way of self-help. You can kind of get there your own way. Be good. Become the best person you can possibly be. There's the road of all kinds of world religions. And they're out there, and there's hundreds and hundreds of them. But Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through me. John chapter 14, verse 6. God has made it very clear. Jesus has made it very clear. There's a lot of roads, and they all lead to one place. Jesus, one who said the road to relationship with him is a narrow road, and it's a small road, and it's very few that find it. You know, we live in a world today where everyone assumes, and it kind of bothers me at my very heart. I read the obituaries sometimes in the paper just to see what's going on. And many times they're good Christian folks, probably. I'm sure they've passed away. But you realize that everybody's what everyone wants to say. Well, they're a good person. They went on to heaven. And my friend, it's just not true. Just because they was a good person doesn't mean they wound up in heaven. Well, they believed a lot of good stuff, and they went to church some. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're going to wind up in heaven. There's only one thing that will help you find that relationship with God and promise you an eternity in heaven, and that is when you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you turn from your sin and you call him out to him, calling upon the name of the Lord as your Savior and as your Lord. That's what's going to be. That's the case. And that's the good news right there that Paul had to share. And say, this right here is the best news that there is. But the second point I want to look at, it's not really good news for anyone until we tell someone. Look there with me in verse 14. It says, then, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? See, it's almost inconceivable for many of us that for 2,000 years there are still people groups that have never heard the name of Jesus. You know, most of you in here have 1, 2, 5, or 10 Bibles. I mean, you know, you're like me. You forget one. There's probably one in your car somewhere. And if you need one in your house, there's probably one in the living room, maybe one in the bedroom. Maybe you got one at work. And there's always plenty in here. It's hard for us to comprehend that there are massive amounts of people in this world today that still have never heard that one name, Jesus. That most beautiful name they could ever hear, Jesus. They've never heard it. They've never experienced it. And see, the nature of news, by its very definition, is that it has to be shared in order for it to be news. Otherwise, it's just some facts. You know, we have the town talk. And I think sometimes they stretch what is news, because some of it just ain't newsworthy, is it? But you know what? News, good news travels fast. I can promise you this. One of you kills a 8, 9, or 10-pointer, everybody in the community knows it before you've told them. I find out about it. I go, I heard you killed someone. How'd you know? Well, news travels fast. Somebody, a young couple, you know, is going to have a child. Guess what? News travels fast, doesn't it? I remember a couple years ago when I killed that first deer out there at Larto Island. Even though it was the size of a large dog, I was proud of that thing. And guess what? News traveled quick. I didn't have to tell anybody. The news was out there. And it's funny to me, though, in a way, how we can make news travel. If it's interesting news to us, and if something's happening in your life, man, you can't wait to tell somebody else, can you? If something wonderful happens, you get a promotion at work, or you're going to have a grandchild, or something happens in your life wonderful, man, you can't wait to tell that good news. Why isn't the gospel that way? Why isn't the name of Jesus Christ that way? We kind of look at it, to us, it's just mediocre news. It's like, yeah, we kind of come to live with it. It's just there, and we don't realize there are people who are dying to hear that good news. I knew a church group that went overseas in a Baptist Global Relief group to distribute grain to 120 villages to represent 32,000 people in a people group. 32,000. Now, Tiger Stadium holds, what, about 90-some-odd thousand? Okay, somebody knew that exactly. Okay, 100-something thousand. That's a number that a lot of you can understand. Could you imagine the next time you go to Tiger Stadium and it's filled up and they're playing a great big game? I want you to imagine wherever you sit. If it was me, it'd be up in the upper section. You could see everybody that way. But if you're there, I want you to imagine looking out and realizing that all those people, imagine they've never heard the name of Jesus. And that would just be a drop in the bucket. A drop in the bucket. 6 billion people, and somewhere around 3 billion still have never heard. 3,000 some odd people groups that range from small villages of a few hundred people to larger villages of tens of thousands of people. And they're in places like Central Asia and Middle East. They're in South America. They're all over. And there's still places we haven't heard. They've never heard. Well, this group went in, and they began to hand out the rice and the food to 32,000 people. And here's what, over and over again, they heard this. They presented the gospel while they were doing it. And they heard this, said, we have never heard this name, Jesus, before. So many people in our world, my friend, haven't rejected the gospel because they've never heard the gospel. They've never heard it. We've heard it over and over to the point we're just kind of like, yeah, preacher's got to throw the gospel in there. You got to do that. That's what you do on a church on a Sunday. And it's how sad it is that it's nothing special to us anymore, that we forget just how life-changing it is, what it's done in our life and what it means to us even this very day. The last thing I want to look at is someone needs to share the good news with everyone. Who is that supposed to be? If you got your Bible, turn back a few pages to Acts chapter 1. And I think it kind of begins this command for you and for I. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, very popular verse. Many of you know it by heart. It says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. You know, there's many missing. There's many missing still this very day. Billions and millions and billions of people who have not heard the word of God. There's no question about that, who's missing. Well, whose mission is it? Whose responsibility is it? A lot of times we'll excuse ourselves from full-time. We'll say, well, I'm not a full-time missionary. I'm not called to be a missionary, so I'm in the clear. Well, maybe you're not called to be a vocational minister. Missionary. But we can't excuse, or maybe you're not an evangelist. Say, well, I don't go around and I don't have an evangelistic ministry, so I'm not an evangelist. But you know what? That, again, does not excuse you. There in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promises that everyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit will be witnesses for him. If you are here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Word of God says that you are endowed with the Holy Spirit. And when you're endowed with that Holy Spirit, it means you have the power, you have the authority, and you have the obligation to go and be his witnesses. It's not just for the pastor who stands behind the pulpit or the deacons or the Sunday school teachers. It's every single person who is called upon the name of the Lord. If you know Jesus Christ, it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to share. When was the last time that you shared that good news with somebody? I know a couple of weeks ago, man, it was just a joy. Went to the prison here at Beauregard. And there in the we had a lot of activities go on, but it was a joy that Saturday morning. Went out in groups of two, just through the dorms, and we just began to talk with the guys, just ask them, do they know Jesus? Just real frank, do you know Jesus, and can I talk to you about it? What a joy to sit there and share the good news with some folks who maybe have heard it at some point. I mean, they live and grew up here in America. They've had access to churches. They've had access to religious activities. They've had access to Jesus. But what a joy. When was the last time you experienced that joy? The Bible says here, the text asks, how can they hear without a preacher? And that word preacher doesn't mean a full-time vocational pastor who's employed by a church. That's not what that word at all means. The word is caruso, and it literally means one who announces or proclaims. It's your job, it's my job to pronounce and to proclaim. And there's a lot of ways that we can do that. I think tonight through our walking nativity scene, that's a way for us to proclaim. It's not quite as in your face, and it's kind of easier for some folks, but to be a part of sharing the gospel. Going door to door, which we're going to do here in the spring, and handing tracts and praying for folks, that's another way. There are so many ways available to you and to me to see the gospel go out, to share the gospel with the world around us, and see if it is truly good news that is for everyone, and it can save anyone. And when we are the whoever that calls on the name of the Lord and is saved, we are to become the anyone who tells someone else. We are to become that someone else. We are the ones. We are the ones that says there, look there in the verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. This morning I asked you, how do your feet look? And I hope before we leave today, I hope you got some good looking feet. And it's not because you bought that lotion or that egg thing, I forget, it looks like a grater, you know, that you put on your feet. I don't understand that. It's not because you bought that pedicure or the eggature or whatever those things are. It's because something in here has changed. It's because something here said, you know what, I'm going to use my feet to take the gospel to the world. I'm going to take every opportunity that God has given me to begin. And it talks about there in Acts 1:8, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. It doesn't mean we just take those in order. It means we do all those. It's not an either or. It's a both and. We're to take it right here in DeVille. We're to take it out to our state. We're to take it out to North America. We're to take it out to the world. We're supposed to do all of those things. You're like, well, I don't know if I got time for that. I got so many other things going on. You know what your problem is? You've missed your mission. You've missed your mission. You've got caught up and think, well, my mission is to raise my kids and make a good living, to enjoy some things in life, support the church and support God's work. You've missed your mission. Your mission is to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, every way and any way that you can. The same pastor friend, in August of 2007, they took a group, took two groups actually, to this remote area of Africa, and it was a long drive. And you have to go by like a Land Rover, a Range Rover, what do you call those things, about 2 hours. And the leader, trying to save some money, instead of renting two vehicles, decided to rent one. They'd take the first group up the mountain to where they was going to go, out in the bush, and they'd send it back for the other one. So the first group went, and they dropped off, and the Range Rover began to come back and get the other group. Another group were a bunch of rookies. They had never gone before. And they were heading on, and about 2 hours, hour before they should have got there, it was about a three-hour ride total. Can you imagine 3 hours four-wheeling, okay? Just imagine that, okay? But you can't quit when you're tired, and it's not fun. It's rough. And about 2 hours before they're supposed to get there, man, the skies cut loose, and about 3 to 4 inches of rain just fell. And keep in mind, these were dirt roads. These weren't improved roads. These aren't gravel roads. These are dirt roads. And sure enough, the other group of folks, they got stuck in the mud. And as much as they worked, as hard as they tried, they could not get it out. They were about an hour from the paved land, and they were about an hour and a half from where the other group was. They were scared to death. They were stuck in the middle of nowhere, literally. And one of the villages that was close by, the men came out to them. Can you imagine the fear they must have had? Like, hope these aren't headhunters. Hope they're not going to kill us. But this group of villagers came out and said, you know, it's raining. Y'all come. Y'all stay with us tonight. And we'll work on getting your thing out in the morning. So they stayed there that night. And the next morning, they helped them get it out. Before they left, they said, you know, we've seen y'all's vehicles pass this road that way out there for years. But you've never stopped here. And we began to pray when we saw your vehicles a couple years ago that you would stop, because we felt that somebody must have some good news. And, you know, I said, we believe that God stopped you. Would you tell us what the good news is? Now, we'd sit there and say, what inconvenience to be stopped and have to spend the night in a strange village in Africa when he was trying to get somewhere else. But guess what? There were people right there who were dying, who were praying that they would hear the good news. You realize right this very moment, there's probably a man crouched underneath a little tree in Africa that is praying, saying, I don't know who God is, but there must be something. There must be hope for something more than what I'm experiencing. And he's praying that someone will bring him Jesus. There's probably a little family out there in the Amazon jungle in South America, cuddled up next to the rivers. They're trying to do their laundry and look for food to eat just to survive. At the same time, their hearts are praying, there must be some good news. There must be a God. I see this world around us. Why have we never heard? We've seen planes go over, and we've heard of people who've come to other villages, you know, miles and miles away, but no one's ever come to us. You know what? How beautiful are the feet of those who take that message. This morning, there's several things I want to challenge you to do. Number one, this message this morning may be for you because you need to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, I really address this to believers, but since I said that, maybe it's just pricked your heart. You're sitting there saying, you know what? I know the name of Jesus, and I've come to church, and I've heard these things, but I've never given my heart to God. I've never looked to Him, not realizing that He died on the cross for my sins, and given my life to Jesus, and called upon Him as my Savior and Lord. And my friend, this morning, this is for you. The good news is for you, too. And you just need to respond to it. In a few moments, Matt and I will be down front, and I just want you to get up from where you're at and come and talk with one of us. We want to pray with you and help you understand how you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. The greatest thing that could happen to you this season is not win the lottery or have a great Christmas or anything else like that. The greatest thing that can happen to you is that you would experience God. He loves you and He died for you. This morning also maybe, I don't mention this every Sunday, but the doors of the church are open. If you're looking for a church home, you believe this is where God's leading you, then we want you to come. But believers, I really want to address it to you for just a moment here. I want to ask you about your feet again. Maybe some of you need to come to the altar and say, oh, God, I spent a lot of time with my feet doing a lot of things that are just about me. And I've really neglected taking the good news everywhere else. Some of you this morning need to say surrender and say, God, I'll go on a short-term mission trip this year. Listen, right now I don't have anything planned, but maybe you'll come and say, God, I'll talk with Pastor Robbie or talk with Matt. I'll talk with him and I'll find a way for me to just to go and give a week or to give two, sharing the gospel. You need to do that. But obviously, the other way we can do it is we can help. Now, we don't need to limit it. Today, it's not a matter of, well, let me pick which way I want to be involved. It's all of them. We need to be praying for these folks who are lost, praying for the world around us, praying for the community right here among us. But we need to be doing something, too. And the other thing we can do is we can give. We have our Lighting Moon Tree here, and I'm going to ask some of you during that time, maybe God's touched your heart. I want you to come. There's envelopes up there, and there's the little hooks. Put some money. We've set a goal of $10,000. We're already well on our way to it. But let me tell you, $10,000 is nothing. We can do much greater than that. I want you to keep this in mind, that right now there's 55 missionary families. 55 missionary families. And they look a lot like folks in this congregation. Just average old people. Some are young. Some are old. And what they're doing right now? They're sitting on the sidelines. They know God's called them. The International Mission Board has sitting there and said, we want to send you, but we don't have the money right now. That's 55 families that would go into 55 different people groups. That maybe that little man that's sitting underneath that tree is saying, is there hope for me? God, would you send someone my way? That might be just the one that needs to go to that person right there. And you know what? We need to give. We need to give sacrificially. And I know you're like, this is a tough year, Brother Robbie. I meant, you know, people lost jobs and the economy is rough. Yet you've got to make some decisions. And some of you may be making decisions on, are we going to buy a tree? Are we going to buy presents for this? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Is there anything more important, though, that you could do than invest your money in seeing the good news spread? That's beautiful feet right there, my friend. To give. I hope this morning that you'll give. Hope this morning God will convict you to share and convict you to go. During the time of invitation, you'll feel free to come up, begin to decorate our Lighting Moon Christmas offering tree. Would you pray with me? Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, I pray that our feet as a church will be beautiful feet. God, not because they're tender and they're silky smooth. God, I pray they'll be beautiful feet because they're worn. They're beautiful feet because they've walked many paths and because they've gone to places where it's difficult to take the gospel. I pray that, God, we'd be a church that would lay aside the things that might be important, might be good, so that we could do the most important. Lord, I pray that we would give. God, giving even sacrificially, Father, because there are people in this world just like these examples I gave. And for every one of these, God, there's hundreds more. People who are just waiting to hear that name of Jesus, the only name that can save, the only name that can change our life. God, I pray for some here this morning that they need to call out to the name of Jesus and give their heart to you, that, Lord, you'd give them courage and boldness to come, to walk this aisle and to talk with Matt or I so that we can pray with them and they can know Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart not just for giving, but even for going. That, Lord, maybe this morning there's some who just need to humble and say, God, you know, there's people at work I've yet to share with. God, there's people in my community or people I play ball with, that, Lord, you would put it upon us that, God, we are bearers of good news. God, we would take it boldly into a world that desperately needs to hear it. And it's in that name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. I ask you to stand with me as Brother Ken leads us in our hymn invitation. The altar is open. The tree is open. As God has spoke to you this morning, I ask you to come.
Hymn 324 is our invitation. Have you been to the cross where the Lord Jesus suffered? Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to the place of redemption for sinners? Have you been to Calvary? It was there on Calvary, God's dear Son.
Few announcements for us. I do remind you tonight, it'll be a great opportunity just to invite some friends or relatives or neighbors just to come to the live nativity. And Matt's got a few words about the workers. Our Lottie Moon tree is going to continue to be open throughout the rest of the month, and I pray you would as a family would pray about what God would have you to do to give sacrificially and to be a part of having those beautiful feet that take the good news to the rest of the world. If you're visiting with us, I'm going to be in the back after they finish all the announcements and stuff. They got a few things to try to greet you. I told you to look at your feet. I want you to do one other thing. I want you to look at your watch. See that? Don't get used to it, okay? I'll let you go ahead.
In an effort to support the activities that are going on this evening with the old little town of Bethlehem walkthrough and so forth, there'll be no choir rehearsal. However, next Saturday at 2 o'clock, all hands on deck, and we'll go until we got it, okay? We'll be in good shape. Thanks.